Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. What is up, guys? Welcome to the podcast, episode 618. Kurt Geyer speaking here from the studio.
Eric Hammond.
Doug Schmidt.
Ross Bigger.
Lee Herr.
We're all here. Not everybody in the intro was there for the podcast. This was recorded at ATA show, but I consider it a full-length episode.
Yep.
That we did with Corey. Really awesome guy, really nice guy for somebody that could literally kill you if he wanted to, just with his bare hands.
In a blink of an eye.
Thankfully, he didn't decide to kill us, and this episode, he easily could have killed us.
All three of us.
Yeah, it was one of those, I've been around some fighters, more like semi-pro, amateur love for fighters, and I'm like, I don't know how to talk to these high-level dudes sometimes, so
right.
We finally got comfortable, so.
Yeah, he was cool as shit.
Really awesome guy, you can tell he's passionate about the outdoors, so that was nice to see. Do you want to start with a veteran shout-out, Doug?
I can, wasn't really ready.
But. Oh, okay, well, wait, we can wait.
No, go ahead. I'm going for it.
Hold on. You know, we need
yeah. It's music time
for the dope. Nope, what's one? Yeah, there it is. Forget.
Okay. This was submitted by Zachary Hill. The veteran is Joseph Felipe. He's in the Army. Says he has been on active duty for 7 years and is in the human resource captain, which means he never works. Awesome.
Don't throw shade at his veteran shout-out.
Hey, he did it, not me. This guy has the bow hunting drive and loves to tune and do all the work himself. Oh, tune and do all the work himself on his bow. He has had the chance to get an elk cow tag this year, and was able to secure that kill. I just want to congratulate him on that as well.
Nice. Very cool.
It also says he has 8 years of bow hunting, so must be bow hunting a lot when he's not working.
Sounds like a lot of jealousy going on here from the guy that submitted the veteran.
No. Yeah. Hey, you got to throw some shade when you can at your buddies.
That's right.
Thanks for submitting that, Zach, and thank you for your service, Joseph.
Thanks, Zach. Thank
you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Joseph. You sound way cooler than Zach.
100%.
I'll have to meet him in person to debate that.
Tune my bow. Then we'll talk.
That's how you know.
Cool. Good job, Doug. And thank you, guys. If you want to submit a veteran shout-out, where the fuck do they do it, Doug? Please enlighten everybody.
Go to workingclassbowhunter.com and then...
Contact tab.
It's literally contact tab. Yeah.
and it goes straight to my email, so...
Yeah, I probably need to double check and make sure that's updated, but we've been behind on them.
They're just going somewhere else.
Yeah, they're going to...
How do you forget that every time?
I don't know.
It's literally like... one of your only jobs. It's like remember one of two jobs that. You have. Print out papers. And
it's hard out here.
It's tough. Good job, Doug. Well, thank you for that. The podcast is brought to you by Elite Archery. Exciting news, everybody. Lee is now a part of the Elite Archery family.
Ooh, he's, amp up.
He's no longer gay.
Still in a cult, though.
Still in a cult.
He almost had it.
How do you feel about making the transition, if you will?
I've been a single bow brand my whole life. Transitioned to this one. I've shot it once. I've shot a couple. I shot yours. What was last year?
An Era, Omnia.
No, before that. I shot
Envision.
Envision.
Yeah.
Envision, you're also still shooting an Envision, aren't you?
I'm going to switch to a new one. So.
Yeah. But you were for.
But that, I love that Envision. Honestly, that's the best bow since. Oof.
You just couldn't let it go.
It's been a while, but I love that Envision.
How many Elites do you think you've owned? You've been shooting Elite before us, even.
Yeah, I started with a Z28, so that's been a long time ago.
A Camaro?
You switched from a Z28 into an Elite. So that
a Z28 was the Elite bow.
How the fuck do I not even know that? I thought that was a Matthews.
Z7 is a Matthews.
Oh.
Yeah.
So bunch of Z's going around.
That's before me. I wasn't around for the Z28.
Too many Z's. So, everyone's sleeping.
That's been a long time ago. I don't know. 50. How many bows?
Let's look.
I have 40.
40 Elites?
I would say 40 Elites.
Here, I'm going to pull up this.
Damn.
I don't know. I figure.
That's a lot of bows.
And what's it been? 15 years? 16 years.
I mean, it's still a lot for 15 years.
Oh, yeah. But this been like the Elite Hunter was the same era?
The Hunter was the next one up past the Z28.
But the same era, though, right?
Z28 was older then.
So it's an 09.
And it's different. They rebranded their logo and everything on the Hunter. So if you look back to their old logo, it's like a cursive writing.
Elite.
I like that.
It was cool. Yep.
Okay. No kidding. All right. Well, I learned something. That's cool. I'm not fully in depth of the. Oh, here. I'm waiting for Austin to get here. He's got my adapter, so you guys can't see the screen. But I'm looking at Z28 right now.
Yep.
Fucking asshole.
I can see it.
Thanks, Doug. But yeah, Elite Archery. We like them. We've been shooting them since 2015. The Energy Series is when we dove in.
Yep.
And we've been enjoying them. So we think you will too. Join the Elite family. We don't have a code right now, but get to your local dealer. Sling some arrows. Tell them we sent you. The podcast is also brought to you by Big Time.
Big Time.
I'm thinking right now, here's what I'm thinking about with Big Time, because I can't supplemental feed in Illinois. And neither can Rob.
Shame.
Nope.
I'm thinking about Clover and Borderline right now.
Yes.
Yep.
What are you guys thinking about?
That's what I'm going through. I'm going to change up my food plots a little bit next year.
Glasses.
Those are mine.
They are?
I just set them right there.
Mine are right there. I thought you were fucking up my loopholes, bro.
You ain't going to fuck them up, bro.
I'm going to fight you on the air. you guys should be thinking about pears.
I'm feeding pears, pear, baby.
I'm feeling peary.
Lick brick, baby.
What's up?
Lick brick's coming out.
Are you licking on them bricks?
I'm a brick licker.
All right.
I wish I could be a brick licker.
What the hell?
Yeah, you said it.
Yeah, a little
aggressive.
A little weird. I want to be a brick licker.
Well, I wish you could, because you're going to miss out on all the deer licking it.
That does suck.
Young man.
Go west, young man. We're close.
Cross the river.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
They were cross
the creek. Pears all the craze right now. Peas and tubers, pears.
All the peas.
They were piling through my supplemental feed during that cold spell.
Mm-hmm.
I bet they were.
I was going through like two bags of Big Time.
Yeah, mine are swimming the fucking river to get to Lee's Big Time. Oh, <yeah. laughs> They can smell the pear from there.
Is that pear?
All the puns.
Is that pear?
Code WCB2024 gets you into anything from Big Time. We'll see if that works for soil test kits this spring. Soil test kits are different because that's a lot of third-party stuff.
Yep.
Which is cool. The podcast is also brought to you by Huntworth. Huntworth is, I think, obviously, besides like our bow and stuff, the most used gear, you know, that we hunt with, because it goes everywhere with us. Whether or not we're hunting in the Midwest or Texas or Mexico or South Africa or Canada or wherever we're wearing it, we rock it.
And the patterns pretty well fit anywhere.
I had a comment on that when we were in Texas. Someone asked how I like my Tarnin in Texas, but I feel like the Texas terrain and Mexico terrain is similar.
Yeah, same.
Kind of like from a distance, it all has the same color to it, you know? And I felt like I felt hidden.
Yeah.
You know, I love that Tarnin. I pretty much rocked.
No pun intended.
No pun. No pun hidden. Intended. For the hidden is a pattern of them. Disruption, Tarnin, hidden. And I rocked the hoodie, our favorite hoodie, and the heat boost vest pretty much entirely.
Deadly combo.
And then riding in a Jeep with no top or doors or windshield at night, it would get cold. And I forgot a fucking face mask. But you know what saved me?
You had one built in.
I had one built in.
Oh my goodness.
So I'm like, oh.
It's amazing.
That's the best idea. It is. I love it.
It's especially turkey hunting. I'm like, fuck, I'm getting bit by skeeters.
Oh yeah.
Face mask, whammy.
Hell, Doug's wearing it right now. Look how good he looks.
That's the performance hoodie.
I'm performing.
You are performing. Code WCB15 at huntworthgear.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Old Barn Taxidermy.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
My coos deer is going to be here like any minute. Austin's bringing it. And I'm so stoked.
I was on the phone with him last night when Leah walked in with it. He's like, oh, there's Kurt's coos buck.
Ooh. He said it's weird. He's like, it's like a small doe with like, you know, I'm interested.
With antlers.
I am too.
And
it can be sweet.
Doug's bear, full mount bear, I heard is getting mounted or already has been mounted.
Yeah.
Sam said he stayed up extra late mounting it.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I haven't seen a picture yet.
Yeah, you can't. You're not supposed to.
I have.
I'll tell you this. We got to get our addition done before that bear gets here because Sam last night's like, it ain't going to fucking fit in here.
It's getting tight. Getting tight.
Yep. How'd you get it mounted? Just vertical standing or?
No, not standing. Like going up at an angle.
Gotcha.
Like front paws up on a rock or something.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Right on. I like that.
It's sweet.
I like that.
That's cool.
Have you seen it done?
Well, I've seen the form.
Maybe.
I've seen the form and the base.
That's how I have my first bear I shot, my black one.
I heard the form looks like a polar bear because it's so fucking big.
Well, let's relax.
All right.
You can find Old Barn Taxidermy in Fort Madison, Iowa. Tell them we sent you. I imagine we'll keep every year we do a game head, shoulder mount giveaway.
Yep.
If you go there and say, hey, WCB sent me, they put your name in a special draw bucket at the end of the year, they draw for a free shoulder mount. So if you go there, you could get your shoulder mount for free. And we always give away a shoulder mount or two at the shoot.
Yep.
June 15th.
Did we draw for one this year?
We gave one away in the prize.
I meant at, like...
They did, yeah, they did it.
The drawing?
Yeah, they handled it.
Who won? Do we know?
I don't know. Oh. They handle it. They do it.
A hunter.
Somebody did.
Someone won. Garrett Goodwin won one.
Yeah,
the
year before.
Yeah. I don't know who won this year. Hey, well, maybe it's about time to draw then.
Maybe they haven't done it.
Or they've already done it. They just do it. They got the form, you know, so... anyway, good call, Lee. But yeah, we'll probably give away a couple at the shoot again, which is cool of them. The podcast also brought to you by Trophy Line. Ooh. The Hyperlite series is coming. Did you see the podcast we did with them? It's metal from Epstein's Island. Who is
space
Sean
metal
fucking?
From Mars?
Who does Sean know? We don't know.
We don't know.
It's crazy.
It is wild.
It's fucking crazy.
It's insane.
You haven't seen it yet, have you?
I haven't. No. Nope.
Oh, you're going to
see these things.
If anyone who hasn't seen it in person, watch the video podcast on our YouTube because it's like us handling it and we show how it stacks and stuff during the podcast.
Yeah.
It's fucking unreal, dude.
That's cool.
It's made of magnite.
Really?
Liquid hot magma.
Magma.
<That's>
magma.
What the hell
it's
that
pretty
is.
Awesome. But code WCB works for everything on Trophy Line. Dude, there's so much new stuff coming from our partners. Grizzly is like revamped fucking everything.
Everything.
The drinkware is like rubber coated now. And are you ordering new WCB Grizzly stuff?
I am.
Okay. Coming
it's, to it's on its way.
What are you doing over there?
We'll have it for trade shows.
We'll have it for trade shows. So come to a trade show and you'll see some new Grizzly stuff with the WCB logo on it.
Code WCB works for everything on Grizzly and Blackgate trail cameras. Code WCB10 is your guys' code to get you into maybe your second, your third, fourth, or fifth, or your first Blackgate trail cam. Get in there, try them out. We like them. We think you will too.
We love them.
Love them.
I need to get out there and switch some batteries.
I know, mine are still rocking. I got to get fucking shed hunting and then do that too.
All that snow, I couldn't get to them. I was like, ah.
And then I know.
It got the same thing,
that was what happened. Yeah, it's like, I'm going to get
They died
stuck.
Like right after the snow, and I'm like, I don't
the best
try
one was
that
all
shit.
That wet snow was on like this big cedar tree, and it had a perfect view until all that snow got on that limb. And then I had
all the weight.
All the weight of it's right in front of the camera. And I started getting like 50, 60 pictures of this limb just moving back and forth. I'm like, duh. So I got on my app and I just changed it to set one photo and then lowest quality. And
like every hour.
Dude,
it's like the longest
I had something
do.
Similar happen. So you know when it got real cold and like froze?
Yeah.
I had a limb snap off on a main path where I had a black gate pointed and this limb with leaves all over it fell. Well, then we got all that snow. And every deer was on that limb, just eating leaves off it.
Dang.
It's still there. And they're up there just browsing on it. It's crazy.
Crazy.
Like,
I thought you put it there.
Did you see the picture of it sitting there? No.
It
fell like, randomly.
Nice.
And I was like, sick. Oh, great. This fucking... But every deer is eating on it.
Huh.
It's crazy.
That's sweet.
It's crazy how just... It's a branch with leaves on it.
You know how pissed I'd have been if I went and pulled my card and I had like 3,000 pictures of nothing but a limb? Where I can see it. What's nice on that black gate, right there on your phone, I'm like, ooh, shit, now I got to change some
settings.
Yeah, no, and I don't have to go out there and mess with it.
Right.
I waste so much time at work. when that goes off.
Ooh,
I gotta check it.
Ooh, they're dangerous.
I know. I just had to actually turn off the ping notifications. Now I just have banner notifications on my phone from Blackgate. So it's kind of nice.
Yep.
Also, Black Ovis and Camo Fire revolving deals every fucking 12 hours or something like that. And it's just always changing. That's why I always say delete your browser history. Dude, all right. I got a surprise for you guys. We're going to Black Ovis here when we go to Western Hunt. And when does this launch? This will launch. All right. We're just getting ready for leave for Western Hunt in like 2 days by the time when this launches. And we're going to go to the Black Ovis headquarters. And Craig's got a surprise for us when we get there.
Ooh, do you know what the surprise is?
I do.
Oh, no.
We're going to do a video. I was shocked when he told me. But we're going to go through the Black Ovis warehouse and go shopping, essentially.
Is it a contest?
Like, is it one of those where you have to fill your cart in 10 minutes?
I just told you guys a surprise, essentially, but I don't think it's that, but I hope that it is.
We each get a cart.
Mine'll just be full of crispy shimmies.
Hey, you guys different.
You took them all.
You can't take all the crispies, dude. Those are back.
It's my cart.
He gets the wrong size on all of them.
Yeah, I get nines on all of them.
Damn it.
Just make sure you got enough room in the trailer. For all the stuff you're bringing back.
Dude, we're fucking flying. So
oh, well, there you go.
Stop at FedEx and shipping all that. Yeah.
Why'd you guys bring 17 empty suitcases?
Yeah.
We'll be back.
You said we're going shopping, dude.
We did that with all of our Alaskan gear when we sent everything up to Alaska. Me and Cody and Austin. And my mom works at a college, and I got a really awesome shipping fee discount.
Yeah.
And but it was going to be like $1,800 to ship our stuff up there.
Holy shit.
Ahead of time. Yeah. So it ended up being like $700, but still a ton of money.
Pretty good. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens, but code WCB, everything Black Ovis. They have everything, dude. It's like, what do they have? They have everything. That's what they have.
Yeah, all of it. Just go look. You'll find out.
All of it.
Yeah. No Xtree stands, the hybrid. Ross, you haven't seen the hybrid stand either.
I haven't got to see the hybrid, no.
The little baby guy. It's like a tree stand and a saddle platform all in one.
I've seen a video of it.
Well, do they have new colors on the Hilo and the Echo?
Ooh, the green, really? The green is fire.
I bet.
Wait till you see it.
It's sick.
Like 100 green.
Or you don't see it.
You'll never.
Good point.
Yeah, you're going to lose it in a tree.
It's great.
Oh, sweet.
It's the best to hide from people.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
It's the best color to hide from people, and that's really.
Even the straps are green.
Really?
That's how smooth it is.
It's the move. It is the fucking move.
What's the name of this little one?
The hybrid.
The hybrid.
Hybrid.
Yeah, I like how they kept it simple. They didn't name anything gay.
It's kind of, from the video that I watched, you can use it as a regular lock-on, or you can run it as a saddle platform.
You could stand in it. I would have your tether tight.
Yeah.
You know, or however you got to do it, but you could stand in it, yeah.
That's cool.
I'm excited for it. I'm an old, for my tree stands, I like my cast stuff. I'm Echo and Hilo. That type of thing.
I do like with the hybrid too, where you can lift the seat up and sit on it like a boat seat.
Yeah.
You know, where you kind of just lean there, like before you didn't have really anything to lean on.
Yeah.
So they got it covered there. They got good people on their team. Code WCB on all that goodies. Mountain Ops will be out there at Western Hunt here in a couple of days, and the Mountain Ops booth making an appearance. So hopefully we can see you there when we're completely out of our element out west, in front of a bunch of Westies.
Scary.
Come hang out, make us feel like we're not foreigners. But code WCB saves you 20% and donates 5 meals to Conquer Hunger. Also, DeerCast. We've been using the shit out of DeerCast for a long time. Obviously, produced a podcast series for them. And now we have a discount code, direct link in our episode description. Click that, and the discount codes are already applied per whatever deal category you want. And Loophole Optics. Some new stuff rolling down the pipe here from Loophole soon. Mm-hmm. But right now, what shades you got? Performance eyewear. These are the...
Same ones you do.
Yeah, no, what are they? They're the, I always forget the brand.
The Refuge.
Yeah. I got a big fucking head.
These ones are sick.
So I like glasses that are like big and boxed off.
Let's put them on.
Because if I wear like the, if I wear anything smaller than these big bastards, they look too tiny on my face.
Yep.
And I just got this big blocky.
God damn.
Those look good though.
You look good.
You look good.
Do I?
You look like you're ready to perform.
You both look good.
You know what they also look good on? The ladies.
Damn right.
They're gender fluid, if you will. They are from Oregon.
What the hell?
What the hell?
What the hell?
No disrespect, Loophole. I love your gender fluid performance eyewear. Thing is, a lady puts them on, you're like, looks good, but give them back. They're mine.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Take them off.
Yeah. Get out of here.
What do you think you're doing?
Beat it.
That's right. that'll be it for the long-winded partner section of this episode. I really enjoyed this episode. Corey's the man. I think we asked him a few out-of-the-box questions from probably what he's normally used to.
Yeah,
for example, this will be a question to look forward to. I asked him what it was like being one of the few black guys in the hunting industry.
Yep.
And I was like, ooh, I'm going to ask this. How do I ask it and not get killed by this dangerous person?
You handled it well.
He's a cool dude.
You
man.
Didn't get killed.
He's the coolest.
Yeah. I wasn't on it, but I was sitting there while we were recording. And
yeah,
stuff,
you watched it. Yeah.
He's.
I want to get him in the studio, man.
When you get him into the conversation, he gets amped
dude,
up.
When we get into the fighting stuff, you could tell he just goes into it.
Oh, like, yeah.
He's one of the top MMA fighters in the world.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's an assassin. It's fucking
cool. Badass dude.
So, that being said, sorry for the long-winded intro. We're kind of bullshitting through it and hope you enjoy this one. Appreciate you.
I'm Chase Ralston with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody. It's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys. This is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast. We're at ATA and I keep wanting to say St. Louisville. Louis. We're in St. Louis. That's
St.
where
Louis,
we're at.
Yep.
So hey, Corey Anderson's in the house. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
We're probably the second biggest podcast you've ever done. We're just talking about, he's like, yeah, I did Rogan's, we're at the studio, and I'm like, oh, man, we suck. Yeah.
We suck.
Better late than never, right?
Yeah. Well, dude, I appreciate you doing this for sure. And
thank you guys for having me. I always listen to you guys when I'm going on hunting trips. I go, Joe Rogan, when I'm done listening, Working Class.
Like, oh, thanks,
that's
dude.
Awesome.
I'm traveling 14, 18 hours, and those are what I'm listening to the whole time. So
that's
unless my kid's in the car, because you guys get pretty fired.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I apologize.
Don't hurt us.
That's okay.
So, well, that's cool, man. Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I wanted to get into it with you, man, because, like, you know, big fight career. Everybody knows you for that, and you're into hunting. Have you always been into hunting, or is that something you found later on?
No, I grew up hunting rabbits with my dad, me and my dad, my brother. I had my hunter safety car when I was 8. And I got a 14 right after that. So before that, I would walk the tracks with my dad since I could remember with a BB gun. Him and my brother had 12 gauge, 20 gauges. And then when I got my 14, we still got that 14 in my dad's safe. It's a family gun. And did that coon hunting. I remember we went to this place, Northtown Mall. I was a kid. I think it was a Chinese restaurant. We went there, buffet. We love Chinese buffet growing up. So we went there and we left. And there's this new archery range. It was like the target, 3D targets popping up and down. And we had no clue. We never seen it. Like, what is that? And it kind of drew our interest. We went in and we talked to the guy. And that day, my dad left for like a Matthew Z7 or whatever it was, old school one.
Yeah.
When they first started doing those dampeners in them. And he would go. We kept going like every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. He'd pick up from school. We'd go down there and shoot. And he got me a little Browning and we shot that. So from 12 to 16, because I got my 16, no, 16, it was my junior year. I was doing the 3D. And I remember after football practice telling one of my teammates, like, oh, what you doing today? I'm about to go shoot 3D with my dad. Like, you mean like archery? Like, yeah. Like,
yeah.
You hunt? Like, what? Like, I got rabbit stuff. Like, no, with your bow. Like, I've never done it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to pick you up in the morning. I'm going to take you. We're going to go hunting.
Oh, man.
So, like, I went and my dad had a climber and everything. He bought everything, which has never been.
Yeah.
And I remember going out with my buddy, Steve DeWitt. I'll never forget. He picked me up at like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning before on a school day.
Yeah.
And we go, and like, you know how to use that? Like, it looks pretty simple. I can figure it out. And he's like, all right, I'm going to go back here. And I get into there, probably, like, oh, this tree looks good. And I go to hook it, and I'm trying to go up, and I probably got about this high. I can't get my feeling. I can't keep my feeling. Like, I'm just going to sit right here. I'm coming out the wheel, like, yo, what are you doing? Like, I didn't get no higher. Like, did you see anything? Like, look like
what the hell are you doing?
Like, I saw all kinds of stuff in the back. I'm like, well, you got to show me everything. And that was it.
Well, climbers are sketchy, especially if you're going to wing it, you know? Yeah. Like, I
especially if you've never used one, here you go, and then just take it in the woods.
Yeah, I've done the same thing, really.
I looked back at it, and my dad still has it up in the attic of his building. And I think it was like somebody made this. Like it was not. Yeah. Like the thing you put your feet in was like a bungee cord. Screw, two bungee cords.
That's
two
by not. Four.
That's probably a good thing you only went that high.
That's not something you DIY.
It's not TNA approved.
So yeah, but that was my start, and I didn't really get hooked until I was coaching college wrestling. So I was 22 when I shot my first. Because I've been going to the woods on and off season. Everything was always in hunting season, so it's hard.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I got to college or coaching college wrestling, I had the Christmas break off and I went back and killed the 300-pound 10-point in Illinois, like on a bean field. And that's what got me. I was addicted to that.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
That's crazy. And I wanted to keep going, but again, coaching, and it was hard. And then I got into fighting. And then I had got knocked out. This is when everything got into the industry. Like, I wanted to get in the industry. I got knocked out, and the coach was like, you're not allowed to come back in the gym anymore.
Get in the hunting industry?
Like, at this time. This is how it happened with my wife. So, it all happens. I tell a story as we go. Mm-hmm. But I got knocked out, and I was coming back in the gym. The coach stopped me. Like, you're not coming in. You've had two big losses, and I don't want you training. Need to let your brain heal. Go do something else.
Mm-hmm.
But they called me overtime because I'm always in the gym, so I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And then my wife, I had married into the Quisto family, along with custom gear.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't hunted as much because I was so dedicated to fighting. I was already top 10 in the world. And she was like, why don't you hunt? You know what I mean? Like, you love hunting. Like, on one of our first dates, you had to get up and, or we stayed the night, you had to get up like early in the morning to go track a deer. Like, you obviously love it, so go do it. But we're in New Jersey, never done it. There, went and got a tree stand, got the license and everything, got my bow set up. And I remember just being that first day in the stand, like a time being so dedicated to fighting, you always thinking about practice or fight. Right. And that knockout was a big one for me. I was like, fuck, that was, if I would have won, I would have probably got a title fight and this and that. And that's all I'm thinking about in that morning, is it's dark. There's the sun rising, you see the squirrel, hear the squirrels and everything. I started looking and you're just kind of looking around, just seeing, just getting, remembering how it is. Like, these noises are going to happen, but you got to separate that squirrel noise to that slow buck walking.
Then
you start focusing, the birds start chirping, you just started looking. And before you know it, it was probably like 8:30. I remember my wife texting me, like, how's it going? And I was like, damn, it's 8:30 already. I hadn't thought about the fight.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about nothing but just being in nature and just, I don't even know if I seen any deer. I was just so lost in being outdoors again.
Yeah.
Something I've been doing my whole life. And I was like, you know what? This is it. And that was October 18th, because I fought the 17th in, well, October 19th, because the weekend after. And then I didn't go back into the gym till February 1st, because season in Jersey ended January 3rd. I hunted every single day.
That's awesome.
And it was just because I was so lost. It was like, that was my therapy.
Yeah.
I remember when the first day I walked in, coach was like, yo, how you feel? Like, what you mean? Like, where your mind at? Like, I really want to go back to the woods. Like, what? Like, I've been fighting my ass. So coach, like, I had a blast. Like, so you're not even worried about the knockout? Like, man, that was so old. Let's get back to training.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, we back. And that was just like a new core. Everything.
That's awesome.
In. Something else to focus on other than just fighting.
Yeah.
So a lot of people don't get that. Like, if you out in the woods, is kind of like therapy.
Exactly.
They don't.
It is. Yeah. It really is. It's
kind of like the reset button.
It's easy if you've always hunted, like I've always been. It's like you can take it for granted a little bit for what it does for you. Mm-hmm. But you feel after season's closed and you haven't hunted for a while, you kind of like, your mental, you have like the mental urge to like clear everything off. It's like a reset. It's a format button.
Especially when we go into winter, because then you just sit inside all day and you're like,
yeah,
I just want to be outside in the woods.
Because I always thought about that too. You're fighting and like, I know, like, I don't know firsthand how much, you know, I know you got to train your ass off and do all that, but I was like, man, to try and do both, like, and dedicate to it, like hunting and fighting, to me would be like impossible.
It's almost impossible. It's hard.
It's almost impossible.
They go hand in hand. Like I was telling Lancaster, I did a little thing with them. If I don't train 6 days a week, 2-3 times a day, like it's my job, dedicated for when the fight come, I won't be prepared. And the same thing goes for hunting. If I'm not scouting, shooting my bow and everything until hunting season coming, I pick my bow up that first time that deer come, you're going to draw back. You're going to be like, oh, shit, what eyes are I closed? am I anchoring right? And it's like, not sure.
You feel like
second nature. Sure. So you have to keep them going. And one thing I always say you try to find is that balance.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I seen a video the other day. It's like, you're going to be super unbalanced when you want to be successful at anything. And my wife says it all the time. You got to have balance, Corey. You do the YouTube channel all day. You train all day. But then you still try to make time for the family, play with the kids and stuff. And those are the three things I have to do. Like, I'm not going to say I'm not doing this today, or I'm not going to play with my kids today, or I'm not training, because training pays the bills.
Mm-hmm.
The hunting show is a little high side hustle. We get extra that pay for like the property and stuff, the taxes and all that.
Right.
So we have to do it. And being a father, that's just, I can't avoid that responsibility.
Right, for sure.
So I'm going to be unbalanced, but I'm going to dedicate my time to each equally, so I'm going to be just as good at them all.
The balance thing is like hard too, because like with us trying to hustle this, like we, I mean, we feel that, you sacrifice something to put it all into something else and right. all that. So yeah, that's like a good way to like lay that out. Like something suffers a little bit, but
sleep.
Yeah, sleep, which big one. Is the most important probably yeah. to like be successful with the rest or just be balanced in the rest of it. You know, it all kind of mm-hmm. ties together. But yeah, I always wondered that too. Like in the fight game, you're around a lot of big dog people, high status people, and you've been around them all. What's their reaction when you're like, yeah, I'm a hunter? Like, is it shock them? Because I always feel like mainstream people, I don't know what that means, but I think you kind of get what I'm, it's like, hunting, for a lot of them, they don't even think about it.
You know? So when I moved to New Jersey, they actually gave me the name Big Country.
Oh, really?
But I came from Illinois. Yeah. My manager called. I remember what he called me. To this day, you need to go to New Jersey. You want to be the best. They got a team. I want you to train with Frank Yeager, those guys. Perfect style. For like, bro, I'm from the country. I can't go to New Jersey. That's what I look like out in New Jersey. Like, I can't do nothing I do there. I grew up on a farm riding dirt bikes, horses, cows. Yeah. I can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, brother, trust me. You'll be all right. Like, whatever. So I went, me and my brother went out there. And I first got like, oh, what you like to do? Like, I mean, I hunt and go out there. Like, yo, big country ass. I said something to the coach, like, so you said 10? And Frank Yeager, UFC legend. Mm-hmm. To this day, I talked to him. They're like, oh, 10? Because the way I say 10. Like, we don't say it like that. It's 10. Like, I say a 10. Like, no, you say a 10. Like, and when I told him I was hunting, like, you hunt? Like, yeah. But they all made fun of it all the time. Like, oh, hunt.
They did, really? Hunt.
I got Frank Yeager hooked up with a bow, him and Roger Matthews from Jersey Shore. So I got them hooked up with some PSC bows and was shooting whatever. Taught Frankie to shoot, come to my house and shoot and tune his boat up in the basement. Then the pandemic hit and everything. One of our coaches owned like a pizzeria, one of the biggest pizzerias in Jersey.
Yeah.
And everybody was on shortage of meat. And he was like, oh, the price is this. I was like, I mean, I can get you some venison.
Venison pizza. Like, what's up? Awesome.
Like, you let me hunt your property. I bring you here. We split the meat. Like, no, my wife will kill me if I let you hunt. Come on, coach. Like, you in a meat shortage. You need it. Don't you?
I'm your boy.
But then after that, everybody was like, yo, I want to go out, Frankie. Like, I want to go out with you sometime. Everybody like, I want to learn. So since I've been in Jersey, I've probably, four or five different people I done got set up from never shooting the bow, setting up, shooting tag, whatever it is, and get them out in the woods and kill the deer.
That's awesome.
That's really cool. I always think about that, you know, when you see someone that is mixed up, like, and they hunt, like, what's the perception of other people? Because we see it a little bit, but we're from Illinois and Iowa, like,
right.
That's common. Yeah. You know, most people know, but, you know, especially, like, you go to, like, the big cities for fights, you know, if they find, obviously, you're passionate about it, they're going to hear about it. It's going to come up in conversation sooner or later. It's like, what's the reaction about
it? It's kind of mind-blowing, too, like, in airports, you know, you sit down at a bar somewhere and, like, oh, well, what are you doing here making small talk? Oh, we do a bow hunting podcast. Kind of like,
What the hell? Yeah. Yeah. Finally got the camo vest and just sitting near that guy.
Yeah.
You're drinking, dude.
I remember after I did my first black bear hunt in Vancouver Island.
Mm-hmm.
So I just got picked up by this supplement company. And so again, New Jersey company. And they just foreign to hunting. So like I've been to this before this happened, I went to a barbecue, like a company barbecue with these two people and they ate like eight burgers, like bodybuilders, just smashed him and his wife smashing burgers. So I posted Black Bear, and she actually commented on my post, like, of me eating the meat. She goes, I can't believe you a killer Black Bear and eating. And I was like, you do realize that barbecue was that you ate eight cows, like, eight burgers.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same thing. And the next day, the owner of the company called me, like, I just fired him. Like, her and her husband both gone. Like, no.
Oh, no kidding.
Like,
wow.
I would not let somebody disrespect somebody, especially as dumb of a statement as that. She's not realized she's paying for meat to slaughter, and you getting it the healthy way. And when I got home, like, I want you to bring me some venison, and I'm going to do a post. Eating the venison you cook. Like,
oh, that's
just
cool.
To show, like, a shout out for me. Like,
yeah.
I eat it too. Like, you eat it. So, we're not going to judge one of our team members. That was dope. I'm still with that team to this day, and they like family. Like,
dude, that's awesome. Cool. Great company. I thought it was going to go where the supplement company didn't understand it and had an issue with you killing the bears, where I thought it was going to go. Because unfortunately, that's a common layout.
Yeah.
That you see, especially like, they don't want to touch it. A lot of companies are scared of that stuff. It's too, for some people, it's controversial. Well, you can't post anything like that on TikTok. You can't. Other companies.
I just got on TikTok. That shit's horrible, bro.
I just can't
post anything like odds against guidelines. Like, what are the guidelines? I've been trying to find it. I'm like, what is the guideline?
What is the guideline? Yeah,
everything you're about, you can't post it.
Yeah, like, why did I even start this?
Everybody, can you post bike clips on TikTok? Yeah,
you can do that.
So you can post clips of people getting knocked out.
I see people do. I don't use TikTok fighting. I use it only for the hunting outdoors.
Yeah.
So my mind is, I can only fight for so long, but I can hunt the rest of my life. So I'm trying to build my brand and hunt it.
For sure. No, I love it, dude. I love it. But do you think you would love hunting the same if it wasn't for fighting?
I think so. I mean, it's always been something, like I said, growing up, I don't know if I would ever got into the archery as much, like bow hunting, but growing up, that was just something we did every Saturday in the winter. It was rabbit hunting, coon hunting, whatever it is, walking the track.
Yeah.
And in the summertime, we load the boat up and go fishing. I was like, my dad had a roofing company. We worked all week long with him. Like, that was it. And Saturday morning, if we didn't have a job site, we wake up and the boat was hooked up.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
He woke up and he got the gun. Like, y'all want to go? I got the beagles loaded. Let's go. Like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
And Sunday, we go to church. It's just a ritual. It's a family thing. Like, to this day, my dad, I try to invite him out to get on my properties now and get him some deer. Just so busy.
Yeah,
It's hard.
That's awesome, man. So let's talk about like what you're doing in, on the hunting industry side of things, because I watch a lot of your YouTubes on a lot of your videos on YouTube.
Your YouTube.
But you just want to get into some of that and we'll break it down.
Yeah. So, I mean, so what you see is what you get. Like my man over there, he does the cameraman stuff for bare knuckle boxing now. So, but we started kind of like together. When I started, I bring a lot of the ideas by him. I met him at a regional fight and I was cornering and I had just bought a camera, A7II, and he was filming. I saw he had A7III at the time. And like he's taking pictures and I look like in between rounds, like everybody talking to the corner, I look like, yo, man, what camera is it? And I started asking him questions like, yo, so how do you do it? And he like put me on like how to use it. And so I pretty much, like, to this day, I still do everything myself. I'm a one man band. I hunt, I film, I scout, I edit, I do all the posts and everything myself. It's hard. Like, yeah, that's the unbalance of it.
That's a lot of work, yeah.
But I'm dedicated to it. Like, I had it at first. I finally just made a decision last week. I'm not going to do every week posts. Because before, I was every Sunday, I was going to have an episode, whether it's hunting, whether it's scouting, whether it's a product review, something. So when you train it 2-3 times a day, I got to drive to the gym and come home. I'm getting up early, training, come home. And I got to have family time. Kids go to bed like 8:39. People want to do podcasts. Like, all right, do the podcast after
this 9. Damn podcast.
Yeah, like, I'm in Zoom, everything. Whatever. My wife come like, be quiet. I'm trying to put the kids down. Like, I'm sorry. And then, like, so you're coming to bed. Like, no, I got to go out and build some arrows. I got to go out and fix somebody's bow. Or I got to go out and do this review. Lancaster sent me some stuff.
Yeah.
Black Eagle just sent me. Yeah. This. And Revolut, they sending me these products. And I'm out there till 1-2 o'clock in the morning filming. Self filming, grabbing lights, move the camera on, put it from the ceiling, put the GoPro. I got 3 cameras. I'm roaming everything by myself with no help.
Yeah,
by myself. Yeah. This over said and done. And look, it's like 2:30.
Shit, I gotta get up. I gotta get up in an hour.
I still gotta get up. My alarm goes off at 6:37, or the kids come in at 5. I get up and ice bath, do my Bible reading, to the gym, come home. Now, midday, kids taking a nap. I'm trying to edit a little bit. You know,
yeah,
I do a little bit of editing just to get it started.
Yeah.
Just get the template, all the videos in Premiere. I come back and cut them. And then if I got time, drive down to the property an hour.
Yeah.
And scout. You know what I mean? Or go to it's
never ending.
Yeah, but never that's ending. Just my determination,
dude,
dedication. So I
love hire somebody.
I don't trust nobody.
I know.
I trust
he's over
me.
There. He's like,
no, my man. That's the only person I trust. Like, I tell anybody, like, Nick. My kids call him Uncle Nick. Like, he can come to my house whenever. That's my man's. Like, I'll be out of town. He need to come grab some. Come by.
Yeah.
My wife and kids love him. I'm on FaceTime. Like, I want to see Uncle Nick. That's my man's over there. And
yeah.
Like I said, I made a post the other day how I started 5 years ago. And he commented, like, bro, we had so many what ifs, like, in the basement. Like, we was in a small basement in my house in New Jersey. And just like, what if we put a light here? What if this? And he's like, what if one day, just like, what if one day, like, I can full time take photos, like, fighting and you can actually, like, blow up and it's like, I think we can do it. Now, 5 years later, he's like the main camera guy for bare knuckle boxing. And I'm just running at this, still trucking away and just getting the sponsors. It's crazy. We're talking about, like, we started together. And it's kind of cool having him here to see the people come up and be like, oh, man, I follow your stuff. And we just smile at each other like, damn.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like we did this in the basement just with an ideal one day. And
hard work,
at it.
Dude. It's hard work. You know, like, I get the you want to do it all yourself. You don't trust anybody. It's your baby. It's your project. But, you know, we got an intern right there. And that dude for the video side, that is changing the game for us. Jordan's been with us like 6 months ish,
and he is killing it.
You gotta get an intern that you like, you know, because I think, dude, you're gonna get to the point where I know you want to touch everything, but you're a big dog, man, and you gotta have somebody that can like help you.
I want to. Trust me. I tell my wife I need to delegate somehow.
Yeah,
and I put posts out there, and I never hear no feedback. And I know where I get some random guy. There's one guy that reached out, and he's. I've seen some of his work. It's pretty decent, but he doesn't live close.
Yeah,
right.
That's a problem. I had to fly him
travel
all the time. Like, I need somebody. Like, my neighbor's son, he does film and everything and pictures. It's like, he doesn't understand the lighting and all that. Yeah, he's young. Yeah, he's graduated high school. So it's cool to help him, and I throw him some cash. But, like, I look at this stuff, and I'm looking like, he just don't get the lighting.
Yeah.
I don't see the details in what I was trying to capture.
He'll get there.
That's tough, too. Like, yeah, I get it. You know, you want it to be done a certain way. I'd be, the audio stuff, how we do it, I'm weird about it. So I get it. But I guess if we did podcasts every single day and cranked a new episode every week, like, we'd all have to be, you know, we'd have to delegate it. We'd have to balance a little different where, as we can do this, like Jordan handles the video stuff now, so we can, Eric runs the store, Doug doesn't do anything.
I'm just here.
Just looks good, that's
looking
all.
Probably looking pretty with the grizzly hat, that's it. Rocking the sponsor stuff.
Yeah, because it keeps that mustache combed up.
Billboard.
It's tough work.
Yeah.
It's tough work, but I get it. I completely get it, but man, I think in time, you'd be like, that's the best thing I've ever done.
Oh, if I found somebody close, I would do it 100%. That's the thing. It's like, I can only make it up on a weekend. Like, okay, that weekend. And also, I got to tell you, I coach college wrestling too. So when I'm not training, I'm on the road.
What don't you do?
That's the reason why they call me overtime. That's the problem. I don't know how to sit still.
You're just always rocking.
It's like you're always working. That's the name used to be 25-8. It's like if everybody's going 24-7, Corey's going 25-8. And that was it. Jeez. He's a 25-8. Then it got voted the number two worst name in MMA, and my coaches was like, we got to change that. And then Frank Yeager was like, overtime. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
But that's I got my hands in so many things. It's like, I take care of, like, cutting the grass. Anything wrong, fixing it, I do it all myself.
Yeah.
My wife, like, time is money. We can pay for somebody to do it. Like, wow, I can fix it. I got it.
Yeah. Why would you pay somebody?
You don't have time. Like, I'll make time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I get it. I see. I mean, that's why you're successful because – you're doing it and you're doing it right and you're dedicated. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense and no one's going to tell you not to. Well, first of all, who's going to tell you can't do something?
Like, right.
It's like, hey, dude, I don't want any problems. You just do it.
Advise you. I can't tell you, but I can give you some advice.
Yeah, it's like, hey, listen, fuck me, right? I can't say anything to you, right? But yeah, I don't know. It's cool to see. Like, I like that you're in it. As people know and they consume your content or watch your video, it's you. It's all you. So I think that's cooler for... Mm-hmm. A listener or a viewer or whatever to kind of like be related to your brand. Like I had somebody tell us yesterday, why don't you drop ship all your merch through your store?
Right. I'm
like we could do that, but I think something's kind of cool that you handle all the
merch. I like handling it myself and making sure that
it's right. Packaging it, shipping it. Like it's different. Like, you know, when you order like merch through us, it's from us. It's not being drop shipped from wherever.
It's not stored in a warehouse and or whatever.
There's an efficiency thing. That's what they're suggestion was like, you'd do better if you did this.
And I get that. Another thing is like I said, being relatable to the everyday hunter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like another thing. People say all the time, you should go to this guide service. I tell you, I'll never pay for a hunt.
Yeah.
I still knock on doors. Yeah. I don't tell them who I am. People are like, you don't tell them? No. I'm not going to say I'm Corey Ansel, I live up the road, or I'm Corey Ansel, I'm in town. And I get no's all the time. I'm sure if I told them, I'm a UFC fighter, this and this, they're probably giving permission. But And I show it all. Like, I shoot those. I miss those. And I put them on episodes. Like, I let everybody know, this is as real as it comes. Like, my guy got one take. Like, say, one take, make Nick. Because I don't do recuts. If I stutter or say something, like, keep it going. I'm just going to put it in the episode. Like, just redo it. Like, nah. It's real
That's
as cool. it comes. I don't fabricate. I don't script.
That's awesome. I like
it's
that.
Like,
you kind of operate.
I'm gone. Let's go.
Yeah, you kind of operate. Well, I mean, our podcast, it's easier to be just like, say whatever, roll however. But I respect that. I think that's cool.
Be yourself, yeah.
But that's the thing. That's what I want. I want the everyday hunter, especially it started more like I realized there wasn't a lot of African Americans in it.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the bow shop one day and a guy came up, like I said, seeing a professional fight, like, wait, you're Corey Anderson. What are you doing here? He's like, I hunt too. Like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. And I was like, I'm going to start a channel just to show a different light because everybody know me as a fighter.
Yeah. Yep.
Nobody know me as a hunter. It's like, I get people hit me up all the time. Oh, I got a ranch. You can come out here.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'd rather just. Public land, or I bought my own private land. I got 3 properties of my own, but I'm out there doing the work. I'm putting the food plots in. I'm doing the scouting. I'm hanging the tree stand.
Yeah.
I do everything myself. Nothing is paid out. But that's relatable to the everyday hunter because not everybody can afford the land.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I shoot the same bow for the last 2 years. I can get a new bow if I wanted to, I love my XFs. That's what I'm shooting, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I respect that, man. Yeah, that's cool.
I want to be relatable. I don't want to be. Nothing against the guys that shoot the big deer on paid ranches and high.
Hey, we'll go.
Like, I do veteran events. I'm doing a veteran event next week where we go to Texas and it's high fence because everything in Texas is high fence. But yeah. I'm not against it. But my style is I'm going to go knock on the door, hit the public land, pull my e-bike out, and go scout.
Yeah. Right. You ever have guys chase? I mean, they're not going to chase you too close, but chase you around like I'm public, like, oh, I know Corey's over there. I want to meet him. Or like, do you ever have that? People run
one time. One time in Jersey.
Can you sign my hat? He's in the tree.
It was weird. Like, I'm
running up on him in the dark.
I parked in the parking lot. Nobody, they're like, oh, cool. It's supposed to, nobody's here. And I'm probably, at this point, like 3/4 mile in. Here's some guy. Hey. I'm like, well, he can't be on me. Also, you hear him like running up. I'm like, hey, like, you're Corey Anderson, right? I'm like, yeah. But he didn't know me as a fighting. Could also have a tracking dog. So the guy that.
Dude, what don't you do?
I taught him at all. Guy that taught me that was the same guy that taught him. But again, I trained my dog. And he was running up, just ask questions. So, yeah. Like, yeah, I see your dog, and she's killing her. She's a great dog. You do all that? Like, yeah. Like, yeah, Luke told me all about you. I didn't know you hunt this publicly. It's my first time out here. Like, what did you even
I'm trying to hunt it right now. I'm trying to hunt it.
Like, what you're really ruining from? This right now.
Like, I do everything.
Like, yeah, I guess. I don't know what else we're going to find out. Like,
I don't do soccer. I will not. I hate running. I don't play soccer, but everything else, I'm cool with.
That was very specific. Like, it was. Like, you don't do a soccer, so you got everything else.
I did roller hockey. I did inline skate. I did skateboarding, dirt biking, foil. I tried to do everything growing up. I played just about every sport.
Just not soccer.
I was a roofer. I was a salesman for a trucking company, wrestling coach. Like my dad always said, why do you think my collar is always up? I never turn nothing down. That's just how I've been. You got an idea? I tried. I'll try anything once.
Yeah.
But soccer? Nope. I'm not running
No soccer. Yeah, I get it. Hey, something you mentioned, I don't think this gets talked about enough, but I think people try to avoid it because it can be awkward, especially white dudes talking about, like, there's not a lot of guys in the industry at all. There's a couple, like Frank Archie's one of our best friends. Does anybody, I don't even know how to ask the question without sounding like an ass.
Say it, bro.
Do you ever, like, get any, not no one's going to be mean to you, I wouldn't think, but, like, any feeling of that? Like, it's a white country folk thing, typically.
Yes. Right.
Like I said, I'm not going to do it. That's probably the scariest thing I do in my life.
Really? Oh, really?
That's the scariest thing I could do. Because not only being a black person, but look at me.
I would not fuck with you.
6'3", 240 pound, and I don't smile much. So if I come knock on your door, it's a little old white lady. So my thing is I'll knock, and I'll beg if it's a porch. I'll walk all the way off the porch or walk back so they can see, like, I don't have it. I'm just
Yeah.
And then some people, they got to try to crack the door, like, can I help you? And I have to try to get out. And they're like, no, thank you. I'm not interested. And they close the door. It's just like,
I never thought about that.
All the time. And my wife, she hated it. Every time I tell her I'm going, she's like, I get so scared. Can you tell me where you're going? What am I going to do? Send you a pin every time I pull up to the house? Like, but you never know. It's like, anything happens.
I never even thought about that. I would never think of that because, you know, but I guess if you're in rural America and it's like little old ladies, that you wouldn't expect it, you know, I get that. But yeah, I guess I never even thought about like that would be. To a point, could be. But, like, do you ever, like, feel it face-to-face, like, that from other hunters and stuff? Time. Really? That's crazy.
Especially, like, if you're on a public land, like I say, you pull up on public land and you don't see any cars. And when you come out of somebody there, you know, sometimes they're waiting to see who it is. Mm-hmm. And they see, and it's kind of like, you see, like, hey, I've seen my wife. I go with my white boys, and they be like, oh, hey, you see anything? And I come out by myself, and they're like, are you on here often?
Roll their window up.
Yeah. Feel me out there. Roll the window together, like, oh, I got one or somebody else here.
Oh, yeah.
It's like one of my neighbors, when I first moved to Jersey, he cool as hell now. But at the time, he didn't know it was another hunter.
Mm-hmm.
So we all got our own little properties, but you got to cut through his to get to the public land behind my house.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, I had a cop with me that night. I remember he was out there drinking, and a bunch of headlights came out of the garage. Like, oh, shit. And my cop boys with me, don't worry, I got it. And they came like, yo, what you doing back there? Like, I'm hunting. I go, you hunting back here before? Like, it's my third time. He was like, you ain't shooting by the house in here trying to stay cool. My buddy stepped up, like, what's the problem? Like, no, I just want to make sure he's legit. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm a cop. There's no problem. He gets out here. Now me and Tom, we're cool, like, over time. But he didn't know at first. It was the first time seeing a black guy out there. It's just, it's a culture shock to people.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to,
culture
like,
shock. Well, yeah.
Like I said, when I was at the bow shop, and I got like, you're Corey Anderson. But I could tell you, wasn't he was surprised it was Corey Anderson. It was like, what the hell are you doing at the bow shop? Like, what are you doing here? Like, I love this, bro. Like, I'm hanging out with my man Mike. And
But does that
bows.
Does that make it cooler for you, though?
It does and it doesn't.
Yeah.
Because at the same time, I think the biggest thing for me now is because my son is really into it as well. But it's like I got to teach him. You know what I mean? And So my wife is white, DeCristo. So mm-hmm. he doesn't look like, as he's black, but he doesn't look like, he's light skin. He can pass for either.
Mm-hmm.
And he's more outgoing, energetic. He's like, he has no fear. 4 years old, he'll go talk to a random stranger at the park. Mm-hmm. And I'm CJ. This is my sister Nina. How are you today? Yeah. And you can see like different white people. Some white people look at him like, and some, oh, how you doing, little man?
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's going to be hard to teach him. Like, we can't, like the way my father told me. I know my father's a little overzealous, but we can't do everything they do.
Mm-hmm,
like mm-hmm. people gonna judge in times growing up when we was rabbit hunting. Like we've done it with our white friends all the time. Same train track all the time, no problem. But me, my dad, my brother go, is all the problem. Cop will be at the truck. Like you can't be here. Like we've been here for
Just
6-7 years. What are you talking? You can't be here. Somebody complaining. Like it's not even their property, but we walking behind the house.
Mm.
And then I had incidents in high school, like just different things. I was in all white high school.
Yeah.
So I think I've dealt with it. So I'm kinda I'm not comfortable. It's still nerve-wracking, but mm-hmm. I understand it. At the same time, my wife get pissed, and I tell her, you got to get used to it.
Yeah.
I was like, what you going to do? Because she got a black kid. And I'm like, what you going to do the first time you come home and when them tell you they got called the N-word? And she's like, oh, I freak out, but you can't.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't because I can't. Because if you freak out and somebody go off on you, I can't do the same thing you can because I won't get away with the same.
Yeah.
It's like, one, my occupation, look at me. Mm-hmm. I'm a threat automatically. If I put my hands on somebody, it's a problem. Like, you got to.
Yeah.
So you don't have to take everything with a grain of salt. It's just like, people won't accept me. Some people will. And it's just, like I said, take it like a grain of salt. I knock on the door. Some people, you can tell, they want to cuss me out and say something, but they see how big I am. They just, no, we're not welcome. Close the door. And it's just like, on to the next one.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. You got the right attitude. And that's like, we would never, don't have to experience that in the space, you know. But it's something I've always like, not thought about, but Frank, you know, we're good buddies with Frank. And He jokes around about it. He's got a really. Have you met Frank? Works for Big Time.
For who?
For Big Time.
I remember you had somebody on the show was a black. Was that Novix? It was a black.
Yeah, he used to work for Novix, but he works for Big Time.
I haven't met him. I met Nick at Big Time. Yes, I didn't met Frank.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you got to meet Frank.
Yeah. Oh, he got in last night. So we'll go down and introduce you. He's the best. But he's from like Champaign, Illinois area.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's from like in the city of Champaign.
Yep.
And like similar story. Like he started hunting with some buddies and stuff like that, but he jokes around. He finds humor in it with us and cuts up with us, but I think it's cool. Like to me, I'm like, that's like, it's just a neat thing. It's something you don't see a lot of. You see a lot more of it now, especially mm-hmm. with like it hunting is like hitting mainstream with Rogan and more people being aware of it, so more people are getting into it. But it's something I always just like wanted to ask, you know.
I mean, it's a question we get whenever I'm talking to somebody with like a platform, and I was asking, you get that backlash? Do you feel this? Do you feel that? But my biggest thing, I think the thing I get the most, what's the word I'm looking for? The enjoyment out of it was like yesterday, we was walking, there was a black couple. Mm-hmm. I was here, and they came up, they followed me. I was like, look, I love everything you do. I've been following. It kind of like, you can tell that it's kind of like, not whispering, but not loud, but like I'm a huge fan. And pretty much saying like, it's just good to see another black person doing it.
Yeah,
instead of saying it out loud, because all the people around, so they didn't want to, that attention, like, oh, what you mean, black people? It's like, we're not racist.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you're not necessarily racist, but like my wife is. She's like, I'm not racist, but if I'm walking down the aisle and I see a black guy, grab my purse. It's like unintentional.
Mm.
She's married to a black man, but she still doesn't think about it. It's just, you when you grew up in a white community, but now you're in a dark alley and you see a black guy, it's just just clench your purse a little bit. But it's not like she's racist because you married a black man.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of people know this.
Any dude in an alley.
Any dude, right.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. She said specifically, I'd be a lot more comfortable with a white person than a black person. That's what my wife told me. And just like, I'm not saying people here are racist. They're just not used to seeing a black.
Yeah, for sure.
I can see, like, right now, it's probably 3 or 4 of us walking around. And I walk by a booth, and people talking to me or ask for a picture. And I see, like, that old white guy at the booth kind of looking, trying to figure out who is
black.
Like, who is? Watch people all on them just because it's shocking.
Yeah.
As for if it was a white guy taking pictures, just like they look and keep moving because that's normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you see, like I said, a black guy with the pass, like you're only supposed to be here if you are a business or manufacturer or a company doing business. And you see something and they ask them, who you with? Like myself, like, oh, what are you? Like a YouTube channel. I'm like, oh, okay. And I give them my spin. Like, oh, that's pretty cool after you talk.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
But initially, it's kind of, it throws them off. Like I'm not used to seeing them.
I think that's cool, though. But yeah,
it is cool.
Yeah, I think it's cool to talk about. I mean, it's honest. But yeah, I mean, I get it. But you got to be honest. They came up and said, there's a lot of crazy white people here. That's what they said. Huh?
I love you crazy white folk. Because I grew up with y'all. I love it.
Yeah. No, we got to go. We got to introduce you to Frank, dude. He is the best. Like,
oh, he is.
So it's the only time he said the N-word on the podcast. And he was so embarrassed because he, like, as friends. And I looked down and I was like, what, Frank?
And he was so red faced. He's like, oh, dude, I was like, I'll edit it, but can please keep it because it was hilarious.
It was so funny.
That episode. But it like.
That's his way he talked.
Yeah. What he used but to. He, it's friends. The only time he's ever said it. Like,
yeah.
Like, rarely says it. He said it joking around. And I was like, oh.
That means he's comfortable with y'all.
Yeah.
That's one thing Daniel Cormier told me. Like, I hang out with him for a fight camp. And when you at him in the house, the way you see Daniel Cormier on TV,
mm-hmm.
and you see him in his house, like, completely different. But he told me, I was like, I'm the same person, just more professional.
Yeah.
Like, I can be loose with y'all in the house, but it's like, as a public figure, as African American, I can't say the N word or something crazy. Like, I actually said the word, the R word, you know.
Yeah.
Like, slow, whatever. But I wouldn't think about it as we was meeting with the owner of a big company. And right as I said it, DC started talking over me, and I'm thinking, like, he was being rude. But after in the car, he told me, like, bro, you can't do that. Like, what?
Oh, yeah.
Like, we've been talking cool, but you can't slip up and say something. And for a professional person, they take, some people can take offense. You don't know. Their son could be slow.
Yeah.
You don't know. So I started talking over you to cover what you said.
Yeah.
But you got to be careful. Like, you can never slip up.
It's hard to navigate in business, man, especially nowadays, like, how you portray yourself, what you say, how you say, all that stuff. You got to be careful. But, and that's like, Frank is awesome, and when he said it was hilarious, the way, because we were all joking and it made it funny, and it was like a comedic moment for the podcast. But our community in hunting is tried so far, because the stereotype, right, to get away from that vibe, and you know, so it's just not a good look. But it was funny. The podcast was funny.
Yes,
yeah, like it was just a good moment. But no, I mean, we can get off that topic. I just think it's cool to talk about, and it's, I think it's neat. Like, for you, I think it's cool. Like,
I don't care. Talk about the topic. I don't.
Like, you're a captivating
book,
figure.
I'm an open book. Anything you want to talk about, I ain't never hid from shit.
Yeah. You know, dude. Yeah. I believe you.
I answer questions straight forward. My parents and my wife, they hate, like, you just say too much sometimes. But, like, that's me. I have.
Yeah.
My wife says you got diarrhea at the mouth. I love it.
I love it.
You don't have to know if I like you or not. You don't wonder, because I'm going to tell you straight, like, dude, get on my face, like, or your breath smells like shit. You know, like, I'm that guy.
You got diarrhea mouth.
Yeah, like, I don't care. I like that. I don't want to sugarcoat somewhere. You think, like, oh, my breath ain't that bad. Like, no, your breath smells like shit. Go breath.
It's pretty bad.
Go
breath. But I
go
think that's a good quality. I think some people have problems with those qualities, but it's better.
Oh yeah,
it's better if it's like,
for sure,
regulated a little bit. But yeah, I think it's cool, because you know, like, what you see is what you get. Like you said in the beginning, it's like, you're not hiding anything. You know, you're legit. Like, if you mess up, you're going to talk about it.
Talk about it.
But
all the time.
That's awesome.
That happened, what, Louis, last year, before we did a Halloween hunt, me and him, and I was like, oh, they're going to come out. This sense is starting to go. Books are going to get crazy. They're going to come. And it was just weird weather. Nothing came, and a doe came in. And from further away, it looked bigger. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's a big doe. And we're shooting, I got up, I'm like, fuck, it's small. I'm like, hey, we put film it. Roll the camera.
Roll
I said, like,
let's
yo,
go.
Doe small, and I thought it was going to be, but guess what? It's going to eat well, veal venison, baby.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like,
I could have just not put the episode out, but no. It's like, I shot it, I'm going to kill it, I'm going to show it to the people, let them know. I make mistakes, too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I thought for sure it was a bigger doe. From far away, 35 yards out, it was glass light, it looked bigger. Unfortunately, it wasn't.
That's the reality of it, and it's relatable.
Still got it.
That's, well,
it's like when you used to watch, you know, it'd be like network outdoor TV.
Mm-hmm.
You'd see a guy make a shot that you know was a fatal shot, but not a
kill
double
shot.
Long walk over there and fall over. And then, oh, here he is.
Yeah.
Up in a picture with a heart shot in it.
Yeah. Or just like found it right away. It's like, well,
they didn't show anything in between.
There could have been 2 days in there, and they edited it to look like it just went over there and fell over, which, you know, I get it, because that doesn't always need to be seen on the mainstream.
Right.
And things have changed from, like, the early 2000s hunting shows, you know. Mm-hmm. But you see that, and my dad and I had a joke, like, oh, if you're filming it, they die quicker. And it's just like, well, no, it's just edited to make it look like it went better than what it was, you know. Like, you can mess up and talk about it, and to me, I think that makes better content.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yeah, people relate, but the thing is, it's just, in this industry, so many people on YouTube, especially, it's like, it's hard to get the traction you need to get it out there, unless it's like a big buck.
Yeah.
The only episode I've had do really good this year is my massive 15-pointer I got.
Mm-hmm.
And like, all the other stuff is like, it's getting views, but not really getting the traction.
Yeah.
Because the thumbnails, it's hard to do a thumbnail without a big buck on it. You know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's just another deal. Oh, just another guy hunting, you know?
Yeah.
Even though when I don't kill anything and post episodes, those don't get anything because the thumbnails don't show anything.
Yeah.
I'm not an attention grabber.
It's not, yeah.
If I go to a ranch where they got 200 some inch bucks, all the way, and I'm like, post a picture of me in here. oh, I want to see how he got it.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they don't care where you got it. They just want to see it.
Yeah.
So I understand it's going to be a hard road for me, but I'm a hard worker, so I'm going to keep working at it.
Yeah, man. And that's I think, too, like, just staying true to your content. Like, yeah. It's like handcrafted. So
I think people get attached to that more, you know?
I think so in the long run, too, because a lot of the, like, the fads of YouTube, like, come and go, and people don't realize how much work, like we talked about with, like, podcasts coming and going and hunting shows coming and going. And you see people here in the industry for a couple years, and then they're gone, and they got sizzled out. But, yeah, I think if you stick with it, you gain that, like, foundation, and then it snowballs, you know? So
mm-hmm. And that's the fad of anything, not just industry. Like, people, oh, you should do this trend, you should do that. And I'm like, yeah, that guy, he went from zero to a million subscribers or followers, whatever,
yeah,
in that year. But then now it's been 2 years. Where's he at now?
Yeah.
You don't see him. Like, it's crazy. He made his money for a while that year, and people was endorsing him. But in the long run, he had nothing else. Once that fad was over, what else did he have?
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
When I'm just being generally me.
Yeah.
All the time, I was like, that's gonna be me for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not gonna be, oh, what am I gonna feel now because I don't have anything that's gonna trend and get a bunch of clicks. I can always be me the moment I wake up, the time I go to bed, and just film it. And eventually, I always tell people, like, when I coach college wrestling, like, you can cheat and do steroids, but then when they catch you, now people aren't gonna respect you, you know?
Yeah,
if I just work the same meat all the way over and over and over, it might be 10, 12 years from now before I start growing. But guess what? They're gonna look back and say, dang. This guy started right there in his basement with an Amazon camera for $35. He came this far. And it's been the same the whole time. Like, he is general, organic, and honestly him. Like, there's nothing fake about this guy.
Man.
And that'll make people stay even longer. Because when I fall off, ain't going to be no fall off. Like, but when you fall off, and those people are like, oh, what happened to that guy? He was a one-hit wonder. You'll never be able to say that about me because I just stayed me.
That's a good way to think about things. Yeah, it was like transparency is just better. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, like, put a show on,
right?
You know,
there's no act. I'm no Kobe Covington, you know what I mean?
Like, right,
yeah. Like, he was trying to get cut, and he started his whole persona. But now, like, the persona's getting him attention, but now it's like on the outside, he gets a fight and he wants to sue somebody. You're like, you can't talk all that track.
Yeah.
It goes hand in hand. You're going to be me. If I say I'm going to whoop your ass in person, if I see you in person, I'm going to whoop your ass. I ain't going to talk. Get away from me. I don't have security. It's like, no.
Yeah.
I'm me. If I say something, I'm going to do it. If I don't say something, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. That it would be exhausting. Like, you imagine not like putting on like a persona. Like,
we walk in the door and you got to be like a whole different person.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like,
everybody. All right, I'm ready. Everybody I talk to, like, I can't stand COVID. But, oh, he's like the nicest person ever. Like, you meet him in person, he don't do any of that. He help people out, but then get on the mic and talk all this trash, disrespect somebody's family, and they come after me. Oh, I'm suing. Like, again, another loss. Bro, like, why don't you just fight him? Like, go to the gym and fight him. Like, no, I'm going to sue. He broke my watch. He broke my tooth. I got brain damage. Like, go.
Cam Haynes is good friends with Colby, isn't he?
I don't know if he's good friends, but I know he promoted him and Trump and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no problem with Cam Haynes, but I just have a problem with Colby Covington.
That's
it. Like, the fakeness. I don't do fake.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like my wife said all the time, we go places, even if at the gym, it's somebody I didn't had beef with in the gym and we got into a fight or a disagreement, and just I don't F with that person no more.
Yeah.
And they show up at the gym and, you know, people that fake front on, like, oh, hey man, how you doing this?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah,
what up?
Yeah.
Look at them, like, what's wrong with you? Like that didn't happen. Like, we don't act like that didn't happen. We get along now because people are around. Like, nah, I don't fuck
you. Don't
with
do that. Right.
I was like, that's it. Like, you just not my people.
Yeah. Have you ever in the fight career, did you ever get anybody, and I don't know how it works, I'm not obviously not in it, but like, did anyone ever be like, hey, man, it'd be good if you, like, maybe talk some shit or, did this?
They try to push. Told me that.
They try to push
that's
you to do
that? That's why I left the UFC. Before the Johnny Walker fight. Because they tried to give me that fight for a year. If anybody know, I didn't fight from New Year's Eve until November 4th when I knocked Johnny Walker. And that was because all year they kept giving me the Johnny Walker fight. They kept sending me the same contract every day for 11 months straight. But the kid wouldn't even rank. And I just beat Glover Teixeira, who was number 3 in the world. So why would I beat him?
Yeah.
I won a title fight.
Right.
And why would I fight him? They called me to the office. And Hunter Campbell, who's the executive CEO or CFO, whatever, he literally sat me down and said, Mr. Hans, I'm going to tell you straight forward right here to your face. Like, you are probably one of the best heavy 205s in the world. And you deserve a title fight. Social media is just the following isn't good. You have to go out and you got to stir up some confrontation. You got to do something. You got to get people behind you to make people want to watch you fight, because it ain't about who's the best anymore. It's about who's going to put butts in the seat.
Oh, that's true.
So you have to do something to get the media behind you.
Sucks.
And I sound like, that's not me. I'm a country dude. I don't care about making money. I want the belt. That's it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's not the game we're in anymore. And then after
I
beat Johnny Walker and got a little media, I talked a little trash, but that wasn't even getting out of my persona. I was just pissed at the UFC.
Yeah.
Like Donald Trump was right there. And it was like the biggest night I could have had. Donald Trump was there. Dana White case. Johnny Walker, the biggest guy, biggest favorite on the car. I knock him out in 2 minutes, and I go up and I flick Donald Trump, Dana White, and the whole crowd off like everybody. Like, and that was just all the anger that I had from them telling me, like, in order for you to get a title fight, you got to do something big. And like, I wasn't doing anything big. Like, I was just pissed. Like,
yeah, you were just having a real reaction.
Like, I told Mick Maynard, the matchmaker, like, the week before I signed a contract, like, you know what? I'm going to take the fight, but it makes zero sense. Like, the kid's exciting. And they said, if he beats you, he gets a title fight. He wasn't even ranked. And I said, now, if I beat him, what happens? Nothing. Like, we're just going to see what happens. Like, that makes sense to you. Like, you don't have a following. He has a huge following. And I said, it makes zero sense. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to knock him out. I'm going to knock him down the first round. He makes no sense. And then we're going to see what happens. And he kept saying, there's no way. Everybody's, no way Corey's going to beat him, this and that. And I'm not. That's why. And I fought.
Yeah, you beat him. It was violent.
I trained at the gym across the street. And I was booed by the whole crowd. And he was shit. And that really pissed me off. So when I knocked him out, I was, everybody, like, I told you, I bowed down to Dana White. I told you, I made no consent, and I got fined $10,000, and
no shit,
a lot of shit. That like, I blacked out, to be honest. I had to go back and see it. Everything that was pent up just
came out at once.
When you're like knocking him out, do you feel like? Are you calculated? Do you feel present? Like, oh, I'm knocking him out.
At
like,
that moment, I don't remember. I remember hitting him. The last thing I remember, he had me like in a clinch. And I remember hitting him like the uppercut.
Uh-huh.
And I remember his head just going bang. And I just blocked out. I heard my coach say, let go. And that just means just go crazy. And that's exactly. I remember hitting him, and the ref grabbed me. And the first thing they fined me $10,000. Like, I'm trying to still hit him, and the ref grabbed me. I get in his face. Like, yeah. I remember I heard it. I was like, take your fucking time, motherfucker. And I went to like swing at him, like, get the fuck. And the ref was right there. And the ref was like this tall, so I don't see him. I cut him by the back of the head and I snapped him down to the back. That was strike number one.
You got fined for that?
Yes. And I went over, flicked Dan him off, and I'm like, man, no fucking. And I started flicking the crowd off. That was fine number two. I jumped on the cage and started like grinding the dance, like, yeah, but that was fine number three. It seemed like this thing with like five different things.
You actually made no money.
Yeah,
I actually owe you money.
Like, yeah, like now you gotta pay $10,000 fine. Like, yo, like I don't remember this.
Yeah.
And it was like, put my hands on the ref, like what? And I'm like, yeah, bro, you like go watch the replay. Like, you gotta watch this foot. And I literally, when I go to swing, I catch Kevin McDonald's head with my and I go like that, and it puts his head down, like he almost pops back up. Like, so you put your hand on the ref, like, but I didn't intentionally, like, yeah, right, yeah.
You were in the moment.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember any of this. Like, that wasn't me. But
dude, that fight was badass. It's violent. I love it, dude. You're like watching, you're like, oh fuck.
Like, that was, even Joe said, like, that was not, you've never seen Corey Anderson get worked up like that. Yeah. But it was just the media, and there was no way Corey's gonna be, he's gonna get his brain splattered. Walking out he's going out first, and they stop us in the tunnel, and he's probably from me to the door, and we looking at each other. And people can see him like, oh, Johnny. And the crowd started in the whole arena, MSG packed, screaming, Johnny. And you were in the crowd just looking at him, he's just smiling at you. And that shit is like, it's pissing you off anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And we stand there for like 30 minutes because Donald Trump is working his way in. So Air Force One has everything on lockdown. So for 30 minutes, I'm looking at this guy just bouncing and smiling at me while everybody's screaming his name. And it's just like, you're just
eating
pissed
at
like,
you.
Holy shit.
I'm in there with my shirt off and it's cold as hell, but I'm sweating. Like, I'm he dances his way out and everybody cheering at Frank Sinatra, New York. And I'm like, oh, they never cheer for me.
Dude,
everything snapped.
How's it feel walking out through that? Like, what's, do you think about shit when you're walking, or you just kind of start hitting the black hole?
Like I said, that one, yeah, I can't tell you, but most of the time it's like, I'm so focused. Like, I got tunnel vision and it's, three faces I see. My wife, my mom, my dad. That's the everything else. I see the hands out and I give them hand. But it's like I see my wife. I think it's just because she's like so white. Like in that tunnel, that one little spot. It sticks out like, oh, that's my wife. I give her my hug, kiss. And my mom was always next to her. And my dad, I give her hug. And then we keep going back to
so white.
She just sticks out in the crowd. You know what I mean? That black, dark circle. That little face. Love my little ginger booty. That's my baby.
Funnier shit.
That's awesome.
So yeah, we get out. And after that, everything is tunnel. And then the sound is like, everything is Like, you hear it, but it's muffled. And I've always had this when I was wrestling. Like, I'm so coachable. I hear three things. My two corners, my striking coach, my ground coach, and the ref. That's it. Everything else, you hear the 10-second clapper. You hear, you ready? Let's go. But after that, it's more like once the cage closed behind me. Like, you go in, and it's like you're always nervous, but you go in, you bounce, and you hear chink. That lock went in. I was like,
here we go.
Like, another man across, he's going to kill. We both train. I'm going to kill this dude. We going to kill. It's like, you got to think, you that crazy. It's another grown-ass man. You train
another eight, 9 weeks.
This thing, like, I'm going to kill this guy, but only one of us can walk out. And it's just, but it's like, after that, you hear the ref, and I see the ref, you shake your head, and I hear the coach, like, remember, move fast. We're on the oil. Or move left. Like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it's like, once you go, it's like, and even when a sold-out crowd like that, I can hear my coach like, Jack. Like, a lot, just like that, that clear. Like, you can hear a pin drop. It feels like that. Coach like, Jack, all right, the shot's going to be it. You hear it all. Crowd's going off. I hear in the background, Jack. It's like, okay, boom. It's just like you get so focused, you don't even notice it. And the craziest thing, like when you get a finish like that, well, not that one because I was blacked out. But like you get a finish, like I'm dropping elbows on the guy and the rest of it. That's it, that's it. And it's like you go from, ah, like, oh. And the lights hit you like, oh.
Where am I? Where'd all these people come from?
I did this on a sold-out crowd, like.
Dude.
You jump on a crowd, you're like, you point to your family, your wife, it's like, all right. It's like, you can't help it.
Dude,
but it goes from like
imagine.
Nothing to like, it's a ton of energy. Like, what? The craziest one was Curitiba, Brazil against Shogun Hua, UFC legend in his hometown.
Yep.
Sold out outdoor soccer arena.
Oh, dude, that has
to it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, but it's like hot as shit. Walking out, they got the walkway probably small on this table, and the crowd is hollering, "You Holloway," which means you will die in Brazil. And they like, and my coach is a Brazilian. They grab him, they punch him, they grab us, and it's like, even it, it's like, it's still tunnel. You just feel people jerking you, but just tunnel vision. But you feel your body get jerked, they grab your shirt, like, holy shit, what the
hell?
But you just tunnel vision all the way there, like, come on. Then when it's all over, and all of a sudden it opened up, you realize how high it is, like, Prince had to sit out here. Come on. I was like, put your hands up. You were like, no, we didn't. We're not. Like, fuck. It was like crazy. Like, what the fuck did we just do? We like, in the arena.
That
it's
would be scary.
In the morning.
Was that intimidating? Like, just the Brazil like, culture? Like,
well, my first the fight before that was against the Brazil. Now, that one was scary because it was a small arena in the slums of Sao Paulo.
Yeah.
And, like, it was so small. When they started doing that, I was the first guy to walk out. And I remember they opened the curtains. Like, they wanted to see something. And I was sitting there bouncing, and the Brazilian crowd saw me. Like, oh, I don't know what they said, but my professor was like, oh, they know you coming now. And I was like, here, you, Holloway. And they all stumped after this hit. And the whole arena picks up, and it's a small arena. So you feel the floor just shaking underneath you, just like,
whoa.
Every time they sound like, you, I'm like, what they saying? Like, you will die. Like,
oh, shit. Don't tell me that.
Don't like that.
Like, we're in his hometown, too. If I beat him, we're going to probably get in trouble. Like, they probably won't like it if you win. I'm like, guess I got to beat him, then we're going to run up out of this. And you walking out, you hear the crowd just, you're on. It's just that shaking on your feet, you walking. But every step, it's like,
oh, dude.
Oh, shit. Oh,
shit. Holy. I shouldn't be here.
No, like, I should not. Like, why did I take this fight on a week notice? Why do we do this?
I can't imagine that. Dude, do you even get buck fever?
Now, that, I'd get the shakes. But, like, before the shot, I used to get it all the time. But I killed the big 15 point. I'll show you guys a picture here in a second. Now, the story on that, I saw it for the first time ever that morning on camera. Went out and showed the farmer. He was like, I've never seen that book. That's fucking huge. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to shoot it, to be honest. This thing's so big, I might lose my shit.
Yeah.
And when he came out, and I didn't even think about it. Drew back, shot, but right after I shot it, I was just like, oh, my God, I should have him. I'm like hitting the tree like, oh. I was shaking, like, what the fuck is going on? I'm looking at the camera. And I posted, my wife was like, you're going to? Put that on your YouTube. People are gonna like make a meme. You're making fun. Like, I don't give a fuck.
You become a meme.
That's what it's about. Like, that's what it's about. Like, that's
dude. I can't. You go from you're an assassin. You're a killer, and you still get buck fever. I don't feel so bad about losing my composure.
Like, okay. I shoot a doe when I start shaking.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I remember the first time he's seen it. I'm like, bro, you're like, I can't help it. It's just the jitters. Like, no matter what, the first year of the season, I'll shake. Like, it's really that exciting. Like, I love this show.
It's not that shit, dude.
So when, like,
that's
deer,
how you go,
like when a deer.
Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan. Yeah. I was like, yeah, that was a.
Oh yeah.
Holy
dude, you pinwheeled them too.
Yeah, you. I was in the stand 5 minutes. I was in the middle doing my intro, setting up my stuff, man. And I hear someone bust out the brush. It's a doe right down the cornfield. I'm like, oh, okay. So hope he got. Maybe she hot. But I think about like, fuck, the wind going that way. She's gonna hit my scent. Probably gonna be ruined before I even get started. So I'm like, let me get my bow. So I pull my bow up, and then she comes. She stops. You hear her stomping. And she's trying to find me, but I'm in like 3 trees in my saddle. Like I'm in the middle, so she can't see me. And I know he hear brah, brah. He can run out. He stopped like 20 yards behind some deadfall, looking dead at her. She's looking at me, stomping. He's like wondering. He started walking towards, and I'm already at full draw at this point. Just touched off, and he
pinwheeled.
Probably was deadfall, tree down by where the wall is. He went, jumped over the tree, and died right on the other side.
No kidding.
So do you like get the tunnel vision for deer too, or no?
It's hard to explain, to be honest. I don't even think about it. It's like second nature.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It's preparation.
You practice so much. It's like, yeah. I don't, like I said, it all happens so fast. Like, I was only in a tree 6 minutes. And I had
to like, got it's better that way sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I pull, as soon as I get my bow in here, I hear, bro. And I look, oh, take my shirt off, just get my panic. Arrow. Didn't even get the other camera, just the GoPro on me. And I was like, I remember seeing the video. I put my hand on right at the turning camera, I turn a draw. And it's just like, you just practice so much in the yard and the bow shop. It's like, yeah. Anchor, nose is string. Keep either both eyes open or one, and just find the pin. Float it. Ready, ready. And I'm like, oh, it's right behind that tree. I gotta wait till they step out. Wait till they step out. What's up? Like, so the head's like, oh, that's deer smoke. That deer is down. Oh my god,
what just happened?
It's like deer is down. That's the deer I just talking about. And so I start shaking,
like, flipping. Like, yeah.
Like I'm punching the tree. Like, oh,
you're getting fine. Dude, I think it's crazy. Like, I would be, I mean, you're prepared, right? And you're good, but so fucking scared walking into fighting the UFC. Oh. And then it's like to see that you still get like nerves to you or emotion, right. Or like buck fever, excitement, adrenaline. I just like, I feel like it, my expectation would be like, it would numb you. Like that crazy high intense fight situation would numb you for a lot of everything else. But so that's cool. It shows
like
how
I
cool.
Said, I think the scariest thing I do is knock on doors though. Yeah. Fighting is like, it's still nerve wracking. Like, you always nervous. I think my last fight was the most nervous I've ever been. Like, I thought I had COVID. Like, I remember waking up that day, and it was just so much online for me because I knew if I won that fight, my next fight was a title again. But if I lost, that was probably it. Like, probably wouldn't get title shots. Too many young kids coming up. So it was like do or die, and I was super prepared, but so nervous at the same time. Now, the first time having Frank Yeager in my corner. And I remember all, like, they came in the room, and I had heat up. It's like, nice. I'm like, bro, it's burning up. What you talking? Y'all hot? Like, I'm cold. Like, you all right? Like, I'm straight. I'm just cold. I guess the water level, maybe? And we get to the arena, and they put me on the, to check my vitals. And they put, like, you're okay. Your blood pressure and stuff is super high. And frankly, he about to fight. He's going to fight another man. And when he left, I was like, Frankie, as if normal feeling like, bro, I feel like this every fight. Like, I've never felt like this before. Like, that's good. That means you're nervous. You got something on the line. Keep that. I'm like, just like the last time you was nervous, we fought together. You went out there and put on a show. Do it again. And I was like, fuck. But the moment they wrapped my hands, all of a sudden, I was like, all right, I'm cool now. I'm cool. Like, I told you, it's going to happen. And it's if you walk out there, you train 15, 9, a week, whatever it is, no matter what. I've 27 fights in my career. They call me right now with a contract. All that butterflies going to hit. And like, you feel confident throughout the whole camp until you get there. And you think about the what ifs. Like, oh, I didn't do enough. Oh, this guy's better than me. Oh, this guy might knock me out. Oh, what if he throw that head kick? Oh, what if he catch me in a submission? It's just the what ifs. Like, anything can go wrong. But then, like I said, when you hear that chink.
Here we go.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like being hypnotized. Somebody snapped it before we came. Yeah. Like, oh, shit. I done did this. I done trained my whole life for this. It's like, I'm not finna let this guy embarrass me on live TV, so I gotta go out here and fight my ass off.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be a meme. That sucks.
Yeah, it's like, It's crazy to think about. You go home and talk. She used to fight too. Like, can you believe we fucking do this for a living? Like, why? Why do we do this? And every fight, I had that same thought. Like, why do I do this? Like, before I go talk to one of my coaches, like, I don't want to go to the coach. Like, you got to. Like, why do we do this? Like, every fight, why do I do this?
Yeah.
Like, this is the most nerve-wracking thing. Like, what if I get knocked out on the public TV again? Or what if you get hit with that shot that you just don't recover again? Now I'm a vegetable. It's like, it's so many thoughts that go through your mind. Dennis all over saying nothing. Like, man, I can't fucking fight through this again. Like, give me a fight right now.
I want another fight tomorrow.
Yeah. Then you get back in camp, like, I don't want to do this again. It's crazy emotions. But it's the same thing with hunting. It's like you put that chase on, you see that dude. Yeah. He don't get in the range. Like, oh, we'll get him next time. Yeah. Then when you finally get him, it's like, oh, it's like, but then the chase is over. Mm-hmm. And then you're watching trail camera pictures every morning. Every morning you wake up trying to find, oh, I got another one in Kentucky.
Yeah.
I got one in New Jersey. I got to get this. Like, I'm going to get that one.
And or you sit in the rain and the cold all day. You're like, why the hell do I do this?
The what is when you're in the what is when you're in the tree stand is so much just like,
you go through a lot.
God.
I should have been here. I should be there.
Or you there in the tree stand and the buck, you have to show up in another camera. I knew I should have went there today.
Like, that's I was right.
That's when I was like, I'm quitting hunting. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. Then you're there the next day.
Yeah.
I had that feeling like, late November, because I hunted like so hard this year. I'm like, I'm grateful to be hunting. I was like, in a little glimmer of, I'm tired of this.
Especially when you run hunting hard.
Hard.
I only had 7 days in the trees and I was tagged out this year. So that was a blessing.
Take it when it happens.
Every year I'm usually out until the last minute or eating tag soup. But this year I had 7 days, and after that, everything else was just a bonus. If you're like, oh, you want to go? Like, sure. I go and end up getting another one come out. Like, I'm not going to shoot one.
No pressure.
I'm just here hanging out, and all of a sudden a big buck walk out.
That's what happens, though,
I got
man.
Three bucks this year. Only wanted to one. I was done, unless I go back to Jersey, which is next week.
Because
I got another house. I was going to fill that freezer up. But other than that, I was like, I don't really care to hunt. And people are like, oh, we're going to Oklahoma. You want to come with? Like, I guess I go.
I
get the only buck. Like, sorry, guys.
Oops. Well, you got to take it when it happens like that, man. But. Dude, this has been fun. I want to get you to the studio one of these days to hang out. It's no Joe Rogan experience, but
we'll try our best.
Well, if you heard of Joe Rogan, you actually know I was more excited about talking hunting than anything else. Like,
yeah,
the last
30
minutes, like, all right, it shows up. Like, nah, I want to talk hunting. Bro.
Yeah.
Like, fuck this fighting.
Yeah.
I love talking hunting. That's it. Like, I don't do fight media anymore until fight week, but I do hunting media whenever. Like, I love
awesome,
it.
This dude. Is, yeah.
Like I said, I can only fight for so long.
For
I
sure.
Hunt for the rest of my life.
Yep.
Pass on with my kids, and that's something I just want to, I cherish. I love. Like I said, you see how excited I get talking hunting.
Oh, yeah, dude, I love it.
My wife, like, you don't get excited about anything. Like, I wasn't excited when either of my two kids was born. Like, I was there. I birthed my second child at home and still wasn't excited. But when I came home with that deer, telling I got it, it's like, Corey, you're never as excited about anything. Like, you weren't excited when you won your fight, when you had the title. Like, just hunting is just a whole other animal.
I get it.
I love it.
I get it.
It's awesome.
It's crazy what it makes us do.
Make me
chill. Yeah, we need to get you in the studio and just do a 4-hour
Like I said,
podcast.
I wanted to come, but I thought I was going to have a fight. And now they're saying I'm going to have fight marks. It's just so hard.
Because we've been messaging for a little while about trying to get a podcast.
That's why I don't buy tags. I don't do draws on tags anymore, because I'll draw a tag and they call me for a fight. It's like a waste. So I didn't want to book for you. I think it was in April. You was out till April.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to book till April. I was going to have fight in May.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't leave
fight. I was like, I don't want to be in the middle of that, dude.
Like, I'm going to be at the ATA. And I almost didn't come here. They called me last week. Like, oh, we got a fight in Saudi Arabia we want you to do in February. So I was going to leave. Like, I didn't miss out on 300 Chad Mendez because of.
Yeah,
shit, some pop up. We got to fight for you. Win, and it's the day after the hunt with Pat with Chad. Like, I call Chad. Like, Chad, sorry, bro, I got to do it again. He hasn't called me in like 2 years. I canceled 3 hunts on him. Now he hasn't called me like 2 years.
He knows what you're doing.
Yeah,
you know? But he said, like, I understand it. Make your money, man.
Yeah.
I asked him, like, how do you do it? Like, how do you hunt so much? Like, I just say no. Like, I can't do that.
That's why.
Yeah. I like making money.
I forgot about that small little detail.
I can't say no. I like making money. Sorry.
Dude, it was awesome talking to you. I appreciate you doing this and listening, which is crazy, but it's awesome.
No, thank you guys for having me. It was fun.
Yeah, we'll get you into the studio, man. Appreciate it. Where can people find you?
All right, check me out on Instagram, on Outdoors at Overtime. I think the same thing on TikTok. That's new, but you can check the stuff out on YouTube, Outdoors at Overtime as well. It's me holding. Actually, no. It's now. It's just my logo. Just this one. You probably can't see it.
Well, it'll be on the cover art of the episode. I'll put it there.
Well, there it goes. And all the episodes, like I said, live as they come. No editing. Straightforward bloopers and everything. They're right there. So
awesome.
If you guys find it, please go in there. Give me some views. Subscribe. Thumbs up. Leave some comments. Whatever. Help me out. Help me help you. So with that.
Cool.
Thank you, guys.
I'll link it all in the episode description so they can just find it right there and we'll rock
it. Good.
Thanks,
appreciate
brother.
It, awesome. Guys. Thank you.
You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. Later.